Blog Talk Radio.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
I'm like, I've never heard of such
a group. You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
Says you, meaning you, cannot handle the truth. Welcome back, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it is on blogtalkradio.com, RonKellyShow.com. And yes, we've been gone. The last broadcast was August 15th, just about a month ago. You know, and I'm going to tell you, I took a break off from the radio, and I've been trying to figure out what I'm going to do with this whole radio thing, you know. Because, I really love doing radio, but sometimes I got to take a step back and kind of figure things out, try to figure things out. What am I going to do? Do I really want to continue on with this? So I'm back here on the day after September 11th, all the pomp and circumstance yesterday, I wouldn't call them celebrations, but yesterday, of course, you know, it's Ground Zero, and all the remembrances of the folks who passed away on that fateful day, September 11th, 2001. I remember exactly what I was doing that day. I was at work, and, you know, there were all kinds of stories about what exactly happened. Somebody said a small plane flew into the building, which, you know, I saw the video, I'm like, no, that was no small plane unless it was laden with bombs. And so I remember the first few moments after it happened. I was in Patterson, I believe, by the way, you know, and again, there were stories all over the place. A plane flew into the building, a small private plane flew into the building. There were all kinds of stories about what happened with the 9/11. But then it finally came out when they started talking about Allah and Islam. And man, you know, people were walking around and they were like hating on them. If you was Muslim, you would need to go in the house. Because that day, in the beginning when the story first came out, everybody was like hating. Everybody was hating on Muslims that day. So if you don't have the hijab on, because you might have got knocked upside your head, because, you know, it's just this ignorance, you know, plain and simple. It's just like some people think all black folks are lazy and shiftless. That's not true. There's lazy and shiftless in all races. But yeah, I remember that day, and I remember the hostility that folks were perpetrating on people from people who practiced Islam or who were from the Middle East. People were really hating on the folks because they, you know, because all they knew was that Al-Qaeda, I believe at the time, was the perpetrator, and they were Muslims. And the sentiment was that, you know, a lot of people were hating on Muslims that day. Lots of people. Because they, you know, because the word came out that Muslims had perpetrated, or, you know, the word came out that you know, the story started circulating that Muslims had, or people who practiced Islam, I should say, were the perpetrators of the worst, the worst terrorist act on the United States of America soil. And the so folks were really hating on folks from people who practice Islam. Anyway, it's a couple minutes past the hour. You know what time it is. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show.com. Shout out to my son, R. Kelly Jr. He's on the show. Check it out. I haven't seen it yet. I'm embarrassed to say. But, you know, my show, like father, like son, there's nothing more gratifying than to have your child following your footsteps. My son has a radio show. A lot more graphic and a lot more, you know, like I said, I haven't heard it. Somebody, you know, did tell me about it. So I haven't seen it yet. But do check my son out, R. Kelly Jr. He's everywhere. So, you know, back in the day, now, I want to caution my national audience, the folks who listen to the Rock Kelly Show from all over America. And I want to caution you that, you know, there are times where I do go off the national grid, which I know that most of you enjoy and appreciate. But I'm going to go local for a second. It's not really local, but it's more, it's something that came to my attention locally, but it applies to everyone nationally. Now, you know, back in the day, back when I was a young man, not that long ago, by the way, shout out to everybody, shout out to Mike Mays, shout out to Lamont Gates. Am I ever at the center? You used to. Am I ever at the center? Knock it off, Lamont. Shout out to Lamont Gates. Thank you for your participation. All right, maybe I can. How's that, Lamont? Okay, so this is not about me. It's about the radio show. So anyway, so back in the day, I mean, some of y'all may identify as Lamont Gates. Probably won't because he's too young. But back in the day, we used to go to Lower Manhattan and shop for clothing. This was maybe 80s, maybe somewhere around there. We were all young. You know, when they had the three-car money out there, you know, you play, you lose. Shout out to Michael Mazak, all the way from Massachusetts. What's up, my brother? And so I did play three-car money for once, lost. But we used to go downtown to Lower Manhattan back in the day and shop for clothing. And it was called Jewtown. Now, you know, this is what it was called. And it wasn't just black folks that called it Jewtown. Everybody called the Lower Manhattan, Lower East Side, near the Manhattan Bridge. Some of y'all who, if you'll admit it, remember that back in the day, we would go downtown Lower Manhattan and buy clothes, you know, and they used to call it Jewtown, and we all called it Jewtown, but we weren't trying to be anti-Semitic, we just called it Jewtown because all of the vendors were Jews, or folks of Jewish faith, because being Jewish is not a nationality, it's a faith, by the way, it's not a nationality. Judaism is a religion, not a nationality. People who are from Israel are called Israelis, but there's plenty of Israelis who don't practice Judaism. They're just Israelis. But anyway, we used to go downtown and we would haggle with them, and you know, and the phrase Jewtown was born. Now, fast forward to the other night at the council meeting, I believe it was, and the councilman Mike Jackson from the First Ward, Patterson, New Jersey. I'll get back to my national stand in a moment because I want to talk about Trump. And is Trump really starting to make sense? Trump is really starting to make sense. I'll get back to that. Am I turning into a Trumper? I don't know. But he's starting to make sense. We'll get to that and a whole lot of other stuff. The Democrat debate is tonight. And will the lower tier candidates go out clawing and scratching to the top three, who are Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, and of course Joe Biden, former vice president under the great Barack Obama. So we'll get to that a little bit later on. But yeah, so they used to call it Jewtown. Now, Councilman Mike Jackson, the other night, I'm going to go off the national grid for a minute. Councilman Mike Jackson, who is a councilman in Patterson, New Jersey. I no longer live there, but he's a councilman there, and he used the term "Jew us down." There was some talk about a project that was being put on the table, and Councilman Jackson used the phrase "Jew us down," and oh my goodness, oh, it was horrible. Always anti-Semitic. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not anti-Semitic. It's not, there's no anti-Semitism in what Councilman Mike Jackson said. You see, because there's colloquialisms for all of us. you know, the ghetto. That's where black people live, the ghetto. And I'm talking about the ghettos in Warsaw, Poland, you know, 85 years ago. I'm talking about the ghetto in Brooklyn and, you know, Jersey City, you know, places where they haven't started tearing the buildings down yet. So Councilman Mike Jackson used the term, Jew us down. And everybody jumped on the bandwagon. Oh, it was terrible. Oh, it was horrible. You know, because it was a popular, because doing that is the popular protest. You know, that's a feather in most politicians' caps when they throw up their hands in horror because somebody said something that seemed like a racial slur, which it absolutely was not. And I'm no friend of Councilman Mike Jackson. He's not a friend of mine. You know, I know him like I know anybody else on Facebook. But and I'm not defending him. But what I will say is that I don't believe that he was being an anti-Semite. You see, because nobody jumps up and screams when a black person gets killed by, you know, by the powers that be, not on black man. Nobody raised their hands in horror when Jameik Lowry died in under Patterson Police custody. I'm not saying that Patterson Police had anything to do with it. No, I'm not saying that. So you can't quote me on that. But what I will say is everyone was silent. Nobody said nothing. The same people that are posting full page, I'll tell you in a minute, Lamont Gates, there are the same people that are raising their hands in horror that Councilman Mike Jackson said, Jewtown. Nobody said anything with Jameik Lowry, the young brother who called 911 when he was in the lobby of the municipal building, whatever you want to call it, downtown Patterson, and who died in police custody. And nobody said a word. Nobody said a word. Not even these African-American council people. Nobody said a word. Because you see, when Lamont Gates says, what does the Jewtown phrase mean to me? Well, I'll tell you, Lamont Gates and everybody else who's listening, it's the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Shout out to Skip Dillard, who is the program director at 107.5 WBLS, who I am. I'm not in negotiations with him. We're just talking, messaging each other. Let's see what happens. Skip Dillard, 107.5 WBLS. It's number one for R&B, I should say. But what it means to me, Lamont, it means that nothing. It meant nothing. I don't think that Councilman Mike Jackson meant anything by it. See, when he said Jew was down, he meant what he was saying was to bring the price down. And there's just like with black folks, you know, all black men don't take care of their kids. We're all lazy and shiftless. And just like there's myths about black men, black society, there's myths about everybody. There's myths about Jews. There's myths about whites. I would say it is. Maybe it is a stereotype. I wouldn't call it anti-Semitism, Lamont Gates. But yeah, it is a stereotype. I was getting to that. Because the perception is stereotype is that Jewish people don't like to spend money. They're poor tippers, and they always try to get things on the cheap. That's the stereotypical. That's what people say about Jews. Just like when they say about the Chinese people, they say the same thing about Chinese folks, Koreans, Asians, that they don't like to give you a tip. You know, the dead sheep. You know, they don't want to pay for anything. They don't want to pay full price or anything. It's the same thing they say about the Chinese, the Asians. Not necessarily the Filipinos, but mostly the Chinese. Yeah, mostly the Chinese. And most of us don't know one Asian from the other. We don't know the Filipinos from the Hawaiians, and the Hawaiians are not Chinese. But, yeah, it's a stereotype. Just like there's stereotypes on black folks. You know, we're violent. That's why when the police come to our houses, they bring the whole force, because the stereotype is that black folks are violent. You know, the stereotype is that black people don't know how to take care of their kids. Let me back up a little bit, because some stereotypical phrases have some truth to it. 17 minutes past the hour. Now, but, you know, the stereotype is that, let me see, do I believe that black stereotypes, South Lamont Casey says, do I believe that those black stereotypes have a racist background? Well, you know what? No, not all stereotypes have a racist background, Lamont Gates, because, you know, there are a lot of black folks out here who are lazy and shiftless. There are a lot of black families where the mother is the head of the family and the father's not there. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of black people who are not taking care of their kids. There's a lot, you see black men on the corner all day. So some of these stereotypical phrases are truths. There's some, or I would say not absolutely, totally true, but there is some truth to some of these things that folks say. Now, is there truth to Jews being cheap? I don't know. But that's the phrase, that's the old wives' tale about Jewish people, that they're cheap and they don't want to pay. So when Councilman Mike Jackson used the phrase "Jew us down," you know, he was referring to it was a stereotype, actually. Now, was it anti-Semitic? No. Was it racist? No. It was a stereotype. It's a stereotype that I don't believe is born out of racism. See, because, you know, so a lot of people just hate the Jews. A lot of folks just hate the Jews. But the Jews, you know, there's a lot of them, you know, Greenberg and this Berg and that Berg, who are on radio and television and who own studios, who run Hollywood. Spielberg and all these folks, Weinstein before he went down in flames. There's a lot of Jewish folk who are very wealthy players in the United States of America. So a lot of it is just hate, jealousy. You know, some of it is just straight up jealousy, because a lot of people are just jealous of the Jews. Yeah, they get, black folks don't get a holiday. We eat Kwanzaa, nobody stays home. But Yom Kippur, everybody stays home, schools close, everything else. Every time there's a Jewish holiday, schools close. You know, I never got to work, but yeah, the schools and banks and some other stuff closes. And we're talking about people who were born somewhere else. So there's a lot of hatred, I think, more so than racism. And then there are some and then there are some colloquialisms that we use to describe other people. You know, it's just the way it is. But as far as, you know, we have to remember that everything is not racism. Because the first thing we do, oh, it's racism. That's the first thing we do, is we go running and screaming, because it's always, everything is not about racism. Some people you just don't like. They don't like us. We don't like them. It is not necessarily about racism. Everything is not about racism. And I think that Councilman Mike Jackson, City of Paterson, New Jersey, First Ward, if you Google Paterson Times, you can pick up on this, where everybody and their mother is coming out and blasting this man, because this is what the popular thing is. And like I said, I don't defend Mike Jackson. I'm not friends with him. And I'm not going to stick my neck out and defend Mike Jackson. He's not my friend. I'm not saying I don't like him, but, you know, we have no relationship, in other words. But I'm not defending him. I'm defending, you know, what he said. And what he said wasn't meant to be racist. It's all you politicos who were activists before you took the oath of office. Now you just keep quiet and you talk when there's something that makes you look better. Like defending the Jews. Everybody defends the Jews. But, you know, for them to blast this man, I'm just not with it. You know, and again, I have no relationship with Councilman Mike Jackson. We're not friends. And I'm not defending him as a person overall. But as far as that quote that he said, Jew is down, it's a colloquialism, it's a stereotype. And, you know, people say, think the Polish people are stupid. You know, I've heard a lot that I want to hear. So, you know, it's not racism. I don't believe that what Councilman Mike Jackson said was racist. And again, I'm not defending him because I don't know him. And I don't like him or dislike him. We're just not there. Anyway, we'll take a quick break. We'll come right back with more of this program. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show.com.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
Oh, no. I'm in charge of our 10-year class reunion and don't know where to begin.
Don't let this happen to you. For your next event, wedding, anniversary, class reunion, or just need to promote your business, Burkett Promotions has you covered.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Over 200 custom-made products USA made, along with personalized imprints and logos.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Burkett Promotions does it all. Big or small, we can fit your budget.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Need your event to stand out with that personalized touch? Pens, pencils, t-shirts? Go to BurkettPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Mention the Ron Kelly Show and receive an additional 10% off an already great price.
Thanks to Burkett Promotions, my event was a success.
BurkettPromotions.com. B-I-R-K-E-T-T Promotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
A business you can trust. A member of the Better Business Bureau, New Jersey. A-plus rating. The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC. The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, TheRonKellyShow.com.
Oh, yes, indeed, it's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com and ronkellyshow.com. 24 minutes past the hour, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me. And, you know, the Ron Kelly Show is only going to be on once a month. I've decided I'm only going to do Facebook Live once a month. Now, the show will go on behind the scenes, but the Facebook Live broadcast will only be, as far as decision I've made right now, once a month. And the second week of whatever month it is, the Ron Kelly Show will broadcast live on Facebook Live. And other than that, it will be on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show.com. Shout out to my good friend Kenny Caston and his beautiful intended Anna. We'll see what happens with that. Hopefully I can go. I'll get an invite to the festivities, and maybe I'll even get a hand-rolled cigar. Shout out to him and his intended, Anna. Okay, it's 24 minutes past the hour of 7 o'clock, and the Democratic debate is about to... I can't take it. The Democratic debate is going to start at 8 o'clock, and I won't be watching. So I'm going to go and smoke my cigar. And watch football game, actually. I won't be watching the Democratic debate because they're going to scratch and claw each other to death, and I don't want to see the carnage. But is Donald Trump beginning to make sense? Is Donald Trump beginning to make sense? 25 minutes past the hour. And, you know, and see, again, I allude back to what I spoke about earlier about racism. Everybody jumps on a racism bag. Oh, it's racism. Oh, it's... Everything's not racism. Everything is not racism. And I'm looking at some of the Trump policies now. You look at Donald Trump, and you automatically think he's a racist. You know, oh, the birther campaign he did against our president, Barack Obama, for 8 years, actually. So Barack Obama finally said, okay, let me get rid of this cretin and show my birth certificate. So we had that. And we had the Central Park Five, one of whom I've talked to. Matter of fact, we, Yusef Salam, I forget what his original name was, one of the Central Park Five. And, you know, Donald Trump at that time was taking out full-page ads in all the big New York City papers calling for their heads. And as it turned out, the Central Park Five were not guilty. So, you know, so you take a look at that and you go, oh, Trump is a racist. Now, maybe he is. Could be. But when you take a look at, this car is sticking to my hand. When you take a look at some of the policies that he's put out there, the first thing we say is, oh, he's a racist. But you see, the United States of America has a $24 trillion hole that it's dug itself in. $24 trillion. Shut up, Jimmy. Shut up, Jimmy. My brother, Jimmy Williams, wasn't just a work friend, turned out to be a real friend. Thank you, my brother. Thank you for all that you do. Shout out to your wife and family. So when Donald Trump, when you look at from his past, you know, his father, it's alleged that his father was turning blacks and Hispanics down, and when he had the Lefrak City back in the day, and he started the apartments in Queens, and the allegations that Trump was turning people down, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you take a look at Donald Trump as president, you say, oh, from his track record, he's got to be a racist. But some of the things that he's talking about doesn't make sense. Now, when I started out, when I broke open this can of worms, because I'm not going to be able to put it back, it's 27 minutes past the hour. Donald Trump, when I first opened this up, I said, Donald Trump is looked upon as being a racist. But now, United States of America has a $24 trillion. Now, take a look at that. Now, a billion. Now, just let's say just $1 billion. How much is $1 billion? $1 billion is $1,000 million. That's what $1 billion is. $1 billion is $1,000 million. But $1,000 million is too hard to say, so they just broke it down and said, okay, we call it $1 billion. $1,000 million. That's $1 billion. That's $1 billion. $1,000 million is what $1 billion is. So what's $1 trillion? $1 trillion is, well, I have to bring a trillion. I don't want to be wrong here. I don't want to be wrong. So let me just look. $1 trillion is $1 million million dollars, right? $1 million million dollars. So $1 billion is $1,000 million dollars, and $1 trillion is $1 million million dollars. So you figure this, we've got a deficit of $24 trillion dollars. So it's 24 times $1 million million. It's unbelievable the amount of money that the United States government owes out. $24 trillion. Now, a trillion, bear in mind, $1 trillion is $1 million million dollars. $1 million million dollars, that's $1 trillion. We owe out $24 trillion. Now, we don't only owe this money, but we have to pay taxes on this money as well. You and me and the rest of America pay taxes on this money. So, you know, the idea would be is to take the budget down a little bit, just like everyone in America does. We take our budgets down. You know, we spend less, save more. You know, try not to spend more than what we have. But the United States government every year spends more than what it has. Just $24 trillion. $24 million dollars. It's just an astronomical amount of money. And again, we have to pay tax. We have to pay interest on that money. So you talk about more billions and billions of dollars. So every year or so, the Congress, Senate, and the Congress, the President, shout out to Tuffy Ali. So every year, the Congress, the President, the Congress, the Senate, votes to raise the debt ceiling. Now, we're supposed to have a debt ceiling, like where we can't go into no more debt. Now, what the hell difference does it make if you're going to create a debt ceiling and then not honor it? So we have a debt ceiling that the government votes to go over every year. So anyway, so I think I'm going to say that. So it's 24 days now, when you let people come into the country, right, somebody has to take care of these people. You know, now you have people, you know, I wouldn't say bleeding heart liberals, but you have a lot of people who are, you know, we should let them in and we should do this, we should do that. And, you know, and what happens when you let people come into the country illegally? Let's break it down to, I'm not talking about the Jeff Bezos and the Mark Cubans of the world. I'm talking about John Q. Public, like me and you, and what we have to go through. Now, first of all, you know, you look at the schools, right? Because you let a bunch of people in, they got a bunch of kids, they have to be put in school. So you look at the size of the schools have overcrowded classrooms because you have so many people who come into the country illegally. So you have overcrowded classrooms. So you go to school on, report card night, and the place is overrun with kids, you know. So when you have a crowded classroom, somebody loses. A lot of those kids lose. A lot of those kids who are Americans lose. A lot of them lose because you got a classroom full of kids who are illegal and who were not born in America. Now, there's some of y'all who are going to be mad, and I really don't care because, you know, I look at my check every week and I see how much taxes I'm paying, I know it's going toward, you know, it's going toward those concentration camps. It's going toward those, you know, what the United States government needs to sustain itself and to, you know, to take care of the people who come into this country, who I see flying in and out of the WIC program every day I pass by there while I'm working. And I say people of all nationalities and faiths coming out of that WIC program. You know who pays for that WIC program? You and me, people who are Americans. Now, I'm not saying that they shouldn't let nobody in, but I'm saying that there should be a process. Now, the Supreme Court just voted, and you can't reverse it. The Supreme Court just voted that if you want to, you have to apply for asylum outside the United States of America. You have to apply. See, now, I'm not hard. You know, I understand, you know, people going through stuff in some of these countries. There's no laws, and the law is however much you can afford. And, you know, I get it. I understand. You know, people are some people are actually running from tyranny. And you know, but if God wanted every place to be like America, he would have made it that way. Some places are just not going to be like this one. You know, and wherever you're born, that's where you're at. So, you know, I feel for people. I really do. I feel for folks who for that man, the picture they showed of him and his daughter had drowned in the river. I feel for that. They shouldn't have tried it, but I feel for them. I understand the desperation that they must feel trying to get out of those places and trying to come to America. You know, but there is a process. We need to know who's coming into our country, and it's a process. It's a process. It's a process. So, you know, a lot of the tax money is being spent. You know, they overwhelmed at the border, the southern border of America right now. They're overwhelmed with refugees. And now the United States government now says that you cannot apply for asylum inside the United States. You have to apply wherever you bounce out of the border, and you have to wait, which I thought was, you know, a pretty decent idea, because people have to be taken care of. We're already $24 trillion in debt. The United States government has always been hand money, foreign aid to everybody, help everybody, the shining city on the hill, you know, the beacon of light. Well, that beacon costs money. That shiny city on the hill costs money. And every time somebody comes here, who's going to pay for it? Me and you. So, you know, hey, look, you know, I'm as sympathetic as anybody, but there's a process. Sometimes you just got to go through stuff-ish. You know, sometimes you just got to go through it. So, you know, I certainly don't want to pay as much taxes as I pay. And I pay a lot. I haven't seen a tax refund in years. You know, I pay a lot. And I'm tired of paying a lot. And I want to see the United States government cut down on its budget one day. Probably not in my lifetime, but hopefully one day. Take a quick break, and we'll take a quick break and wrap this thing up. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this. The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC.
Hi, I'm Lisa Edelstein. Every day on set, I help my fictional doctors save the lives of imaginary patients in the TV series House. Every day in his village in Ethiopia, Barasa Ware helps save the lives of real children as a local health worker. Like many children in the developing world, the ones in Barasa's village are threatened by common illnesses that kill millions worldwide. But unlike villages without a local health worker, the children of Barasa's village get the care they need to survive. Imagine how many more children could be saved with your help. When you help local health workers like Barasa, you help children survive all over the world. See where the good goes at goodgoes.org and find out all the ways you can help the good go further. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, Ron Kelly Show. Boy.com. Man, I tell you, this world is like, oh, Jesus. You know, I was watching, yeah, I listen to the news every day. You know, I'm one of those people who do listen to the news. Not all day, but you know. But the body of a man, I almost kind of chuckled, and it's not funny. The body of an unidentified man was found rolled up in a red carpet. I can't do this. Rolled up in a red carpet. I guess he got the red carpet treatment. Rolled up in a red carpet around 5:52 a.m. in front of the Starbucks. I just can't. It's not funny. No, it's not funny. God forgive me for chuckling about this. But, you know, rolled up in a rug and stuck in front of, I mean, who would have thought? Who would have thunk it? You know, the guy, unfortunately, was young. He appears to be in his 20s or 30s, and he was fully clothed, wearing gray sweatpants and a T-shirt, and seemed to have suffered wounds to his head. He had no driver's license or form of identification on him, according to ABC 7. The man was also wrapped in plastic. I can't. This world is crumbling, let me tell you. The body of a man found rolled up in a carpet outside of New York City Starbucks with his feet sticking out. Now, this is on 145th Street. Well, I used to hang out at, actually, back in the day, Harlem. I didn't hang out in Jersey. I hung out at home. Anyway, so Starbucks employee made the harrowing discovery. Wow. Terrible. This world is going to crap. Two people pushed. Wow. They said that there was two people. They on camera. They had two people pushing a man in a shopping cart. I mean, oh boy. Oh. I gotta get out of this business. Anyway, it's 19 minutes before the hour. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com. And, you know, I am ready to light my cigar, but not now. Anyway, so the debate is coming up, everybody. I suggest that you all take a look at it. It's going to be the leader right now, Joe, the body and the person of Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. That's the pecking order. That's where it is right now. Joe Biden being a leader. Elizabeth Warren nipping at Joe Biden's heels. And old man Bernie Sanders, the socialist. So, wow. They're going to be clawing at each other tonight. And see, this is the part that I always thought this should be a consensus candidate. I mean, I don't begrudge anybody that, you know, their wish to be the man. But I think that, it just ruins everything when people decide to run. I mean, you have 50 people running. Well, actually, we started out at 20, but the other, there's some that had dropped off, so now it's 10. But so I'll tell you what. What's going to happen is, like, you got Warren, you got Biden, and you got Sanders. Everybody else is going to be scratching and clawing. You know, Andrew Yang, whoever that is, Cory Booker, who I don't believe had a chance anyway, and some of the other lower tier candidates. Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota, I believe it is, senator. So 10 of them have dropped off, and there's 10 left. So we're going to see tonight who who wins and who loses, because, you know, some of the candidates are going to have to throw a Hail Mary tonight, or they're going to fall off, Cory Booker being one of them. Now, I'm not against Cory Booker. Don't get me wrong. I didn't think he was a good candidate, but, you know, and we'll see what happens with him. But these people are going to be clawing and scratching at each other. They're going to be trying to destroy each other. Warren and Bernie Sanders are going to be, I think all of them are going to be going after Biden, the same way they did the last debate. They all went after Biden because Biden's a front runner, and they think that's what they're supposed to do. But no, that's not what you're supposed to do. It's make you look stupid. You should be talking about your issues. You should be talking about what you want to do with the United States of America instead of trying to attack the front runner. Because if you don't have a message, no matter who you attack, you're still going to lose. You're still going to lose. So I think that Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren should not start going after Biden. See, this is what happens. You know, you have Kamala Harris and Amy Klobuchar, the senator. So there's like four senators that are running for president. You know, Booker, Bernie, Amy, and Kamala Harris. Oh, and also Elizabeth Warren is five senators that are running for president. So what they're going to do is they're going to claw each other to death. And see, Trump already said, I'll be watching. So what do you think that means? That Trump's just going to be watching for entertainment? No, Trump's people are going to be taking notes. So all the dirt that the Democratic candidates dig up on each other, Trump is going to use it when it's his turn to be on the debate stage with whoever, presumably Joe Biden. So, you know, we'll see. Anyway, it's 14 minutes before the hour. Let me take one more break, and then I'll wrap this puppy up and be out of here. We'll take a quick break and come right back with more. It's Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
So coming to the stage is a really funny guy. Y'all know him. Put your hands together. Give it up for George Wilborn.
Folks, why won't we go to the doctor? My uncle calls. Speech all slurred, complaining his arm's numb. He calls everybody under the sun. Aunt Peyton, his old army buddy George. He even called my daughter Tierra, because, you know, she's got a year of nursing. Everyone thinks he needs to go to the doctor, including me. So he said, well, will you take me? I'm like, I'm on the road. He goes, I'll wait. Stroke's no joke. If you or someone you love have symptoms of stroke, don't call family. Don't dial a friend. Don't wait. It may be too late. Dial 911. Time loss is brain loss. Seriously, dial 911.
Learn all the symptoms of a stroke at strokesnojoke.org. That's strokesnojoke.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. About 12 minutes later, I'm going to get out of here. Can I enjoy some of this good weather that we got going on here? Shout out to Lamont Gates and some of y'all who listen. Now, the show is only going to be on once a month because I need to. There's not enough support. Let me just keep it real with you. There's not enough support for Ron Kelly's show on amongst the people who I'm friends with. There's just not enough support for the show. So I'm going to, while I do appreciate the people who do check me out every week, there's just not enough support for the show. So shout out to Albert Bay. I love you, my brother. So the Ron Kelly Show will be on in different venues because I'm bringing on a social media expert because the show is just, it's just too much for me to handle by myself. You know, I need people to help me with the show. So I'm going to hire a team, get some people together, hopefully, get some freelancers together, hire some people to help me lift the show because it's just too much for me right now. It's just too much. So I'm going to limit the Ron Kelly Show broadcast to once a month on Facebook. It'll be on some other venues that I decided to put the show, to move the show around instead of just leaving it on Facebook all the time. Because there's just not enough support for Ron Kelly's show amongst the people that I know, which is usually the case. I mean, you know, it's no surprise. Love you too, my brother. There's no surprise. You know, this is what happens. So, you know, in an effort to expand the show and expand the audience, you know, I'm going to put it in places where people don't know me. Also, there's a billboard running in Atlanta, actually. There's a billboard running in Atlanta on, where is, it's, there's a billboard, my billboard is running in, I don't know why this is saying I didn't do anything, but, Hmm. Yeah, the billboard is running in Atlanta. It'll be running on Wednesdays and Thursdays. So, again, in an effort to get the show, take the show on the road, we're going to be broadcasting from different venues. 1 week Facebook, 1 week YouTube, 1 week Periscope, 1 week something else. That's how it's going to work. So the Rock Kelly Show will only be on Facebook once a month. But I appreciate everybody who checks me out. And you know, we're going to make that happen real soon. Okay, so I'm trying to get with the chat because people are texting, chatting with me about the election. And yeah, it's going to be a bloody mess. It's going to be starting, matter of fact, in just a couple minutes, in about 7 or 8 minutes. So I'm going to get off the air. I'm going to prepare for that. But again, the Ron Kelly Show will not be on Facebook weekly anymore. It's time to expand. It's time to bring on new people to help me further my efforts. So and to do it only once a month. But and focus on other social media platforms, Instagram and Instagram and some of the other ones that I don't even pay attention to. I'm being told I need to start paying attention to them. All right, so I'm getting out of here. We'll see you back here in a month for more of the Ron Kelly Show. So I know I'm getting out here a couple of minutes early because I want to get prepared. I do want to watch a little bit of the debate, so I'll watch it. And then I'll get out of here. All right, everybody, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you to everybody who supported me every week. I appreciate you guys. It has nothing to do with you. But, again, we're taking a new direction with the show. So the show will not be on Facebook Live every week anymore. The next time the Ron Kelly Show is on Facebook Live, it'll be in October. All right, so we'll take care, everybody. We'll see you back here in October. And that's it. I'm out.